love these two words. Bonus episode of 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. What do we got today?
Well, you know, the Stanley Cup playoffs start on Saturday. We've tried to cover the whole league. You know, we're pretty close to having, well, we've certainly asked for cooperation from every club in the league, and we've gotten it most of the time. We have great friends in Ottawa, as you know, between the owner, who's a good friend, between the general manager, the vice president of hockey ops, Dave Poulin, the head coach, and they're a team that has a lot of their own podcasts, including the players. So we've been trying to get Steve Staios on the show all season long. And for one reason or another, whether it's our schedule or his, or the ups and downs that have gone on in Ottawa, we haven't been able to connect. So the deal was made. The moment they clinch, Steve will come on. So this was the first day that worked for both sides, that Steve Staios would come on the show. It's not a regularly scheduled day for us, but what the heck. It's a bonus episode for our pal Steve Staios.
Ottawa, where do they rank in the Eastern Conference as a team that could win and come out of that side of the NHL?
I think any team in the East can win. I really do. I think that the competitive balance in the East, there's no dominant team. I mean,
because they're an eight seed essentially.
But the season has so many different layers and so many different personalities. How many times did you hear, particularly after Christmas, boy, I don't want to play Ottawa in the playoffs if they get in. And I think I heard it more about the Senators than I did any other team in the league this year.
Wondered if they would ever be healthy enough and everything would come together. Everybody would be available at the right time.
Well, I don't know if
and we I'm have with that you. Answer. I really like their team a lot.
Well, and the adversities they went through. You know, the stuff they went through with Linus Allmark that everybody knows about. And really, there are two episodes. Travis Green talked about we've got to ignore the outside noise. There was a ton of outside noise when it came to the Senators this year, whether it be what Ullmark went through, whether it be the injuries, whether it be Brady and Matthews' podcast. You know, those were issues in Ottawa. And what happened was this team galvanized. I think it was 13 defensemen that had to play before the end of the season. 13. You know, we always talk about, you know, you have to have depth. Maybe you might use 8 or 9 or 10, but to use 13 different defensemen is almost mythical when you think what they went through. That back-to-back that they played in New York and Detroit when they had to bring some of the kids up from Belleville for a couple of games was amazing. And reflected well on the Senators and did not reflect well on their competitor in the division, Detroit. So from that perspective, this is a team, I think, that it may not be peaking, but this is a team that is playing very well at the right time. And I can see now why people would say, I'm not sure I want to play Ottawa in the playoffs. Could I see Ottawa beating Carolina? Yeah, I could. I could. Obviously Carolina is going to be the favorite, but no one should be surprised if the Ottawa Senators beat the Carolina Hurricanes in the first round.
How important was it for the franchise to make the playoffs in consecutive years, first time since 13, that they've been able to do it back-to-back?
Oh, I think it's huge on so many levels. I think there's the approach for the hockey operations group, but I all think from a business perspective. You know, Michael Landlauer has invested a lot of money in this club. You know, they're trying to find a way to get a new downtown arena. Inconsistency has been a part of what the Senators have been in the last, well, I would almost say since prior to Eugene Melnyk's death. They have been so inconsistent and tons of potential, but haven't been able to follow through. So last year, the expectation was they would make the playoffs. They did make the playoffs. They forced 6 games against the Maple Leafs. And I think a lot of people said, well, here they're on their way. They're going to be great. And then they were a roller coaster all season long, Darren, an absolute roller coaster. You know, I posted it on social media. On January 12th, they were 15 points behind Detroit. They were last in the Atlantic Division. Everybody, I think a lot of people had put them out to pasture, left for dead. And they turned it around. They turned it around. And even since the Olympic break, when you look at the little bit of controversy of Allmark not wanting to play in Tampa versus playing in Florida and then being absolutely horrific in the game in Florida, you talk about what your pal Wat Kachuk did on the podcast with his sons and how much outside noise that created. And then Brady getting injured on Long Island with whatever it was. This is a team that has had a lot of adversity this year, and they seem to, at this point, on the 16th of April, come out the other side in a pretty good place, ready for the playoffs.
You know, every team has a playoff motto going in. Yeah. They all get the T-shirts made. In 2023 in Vegas, it was, "It hurts to win." For the Ottawa Senators, but it could be for 15 Everybody. Other teams too.
Yeah.
It's not easy. That's the playoff motto. or it's never easy. And it was never really easy. Ottawa never got to the point where we're ready to roll. They were always dealing with something, and somehow they managed to get in, and Toronto dropped off the cliff. The 18 wheeler went off the cliff. So the Battle of Ontario, it was, I don't think either one was dominant this year, but Ottawa found a way and Toronto didn't. What do you think that means to the Senators in the hierarchy of that rivalry?
Oh, in the hierarchy of the rivalry? Well, I in many ways, it was a greater rivalry in Ottawa than it was in Toronto. Now, yes. I think it might be changing. There might be a shift in that now Maple Leaf fans have to find a way to start to hate the Senators even more than they have. And you know, now the challenge will be for the Maple Leafs in the next couple of years to win a game or two against the Senators. You know, rivalries only work if both sides win. And right now, I don't know about you, I don't see any way the Maple Leafs are going to be competitive in this rivalry for a while. I really don't.
Buffalo, Toronto, Ottawa, Toronto. So you've got the Sens and the Sabres. Who's enjoying making the playoffs with the Maple Leafs missing more?
Well, I think you better throw Montreal in there too. I mean, when you think about, you know, there are reasons that people call the Maple Leafs the evil empire around the Atlantic Division, but I suspect
they're having a Kaylee. Those three teams have a Kaylee and good old celebration.
I tell you what,
fan bases of those teams.
I would sense at this point, because Ottawa made the playoffs last year and because of the 14-year drought in Buffalo, I would suggest it's Sabre fans at this point. Yeah, I really would. By the way, just as a side, when they finally clinched, they sent a note to a friend inside the organization and he sent me a quick note back. He said, "Thanks. It's been a grind." Because it has been a grind for the Ottawa Senators this year.
I got the same reply, I think, from that same person. Steve Steos, I wasn't texting with him, but we're going to join him next on 100% Hockey, the president and the general manager of the playoff-bound Ottawa Senators will join us. Talk about what this experience has been like. Fun? Stressful? How do you put a title on it? It's 100% Hockey. Joining you with Steve Steos next.
But
remember
edition.
To hit the like button. Hit the like button, though. Bonus editions, bonus episodes are good. Stevie's with us when we return.
NHL TV is now on DAZN. Hockey lives here.
Here we go.
Watch every game from every team. The best players in the world.
It's a They score!
And the coldest plays on ice. Watch up to four games at once for the ultimate NHL experience. Sign up now at DAZN.
As promised, here is our buddy Steve Staios, Ottawa Senators, celebrating a return to the playoffs. Were you more relieved this year or last year? Because making the playoffs 2 years in a row is tough, and then there's expectations once you do it coming off it.
Yeah, I think a little bit of relief was more. I think just with the way our team was playing, everything made sense. Like we were playing the right way. We were competitive. We were connected. The structure was good. Yet what didn't make sense was the standings. So we needed to go on a run. And as tough as the Atlantic and the East in particular was this year, there was times where I was worried that we were going to run out of time. I really believed in the team. That was unwavering, but certainly there were moments with all the things that we had dealt with this year, but the resilience of this group has been incredible.
How would you define the season, Steve? Is there a way to describe what you went through?
I go back to resilience, John. Like it's every team goes through adversity. Ours was, there were some big moments of adversity for us this year. No one is going to sympathize with me when we talk about injuries, but to have that amount of injuries at the same time in the same position to be able to find a way, I would describe the season as a true test of character and the resilience of this group.
How many times did you think you had to suit up after all? You did go through 13 defensemen. 13.
It was crazy. I never had that thought. First of all, when I hung him up, I actually hung him up. I squeezed as much out of this body as I could. And grateful for that. But it was, again, you talk about depth. You go into the offseason, you look at your depth, and, you spend a lot of time on it and trying to get the right people in. But, the names of Lassie Thompson and Cameron Crotty and reacquiring Dennis Gilbert, you maybe expect to use those guys at a certain time in the season. But to use them all at once and for us to persevere was pretty special.
Anybody stand out that took the reins and really ran with it?
I think they all had their moments. They really did. I mean, even Carter Yakimchuk coming up and, I was asked this morning about defining moments of the season, but there were many of them. But for a player like Yak to come up and perform the way he did in a huge divisional game in Detroit on a back-to-back, I think each one of those players have had their moments that have contributed to the success of the team.
I'm going to jump in. The guy that made me look up was Jordan Spence. Oh my goodness gracious. Particularly in that stint where you did have so many injuries after the Olympic break. I was part of a series last year. He played 3 minutes for Los Angeles. And I think one night he almost played 30 for you. Crazy. Yeah,
he sure did. He did hit the 30 mark that night, John. It was a bit of a tough start for Jordan here. And I think it tends to happen. I think our coaching staff is so driven on the details. And having a returning group, coming in, the guys were all up to speed. And for Spenny, when he came in, there was a lot for him to sort of digest. We knew he had the talent and the character and the ability, but it did take him a bit of time to adjust. And the whole idea on acquiring Jordan at the draft when we did was, a little bit of concern with Nick Jensen and his injury and his coming off post-op. And Jens gave us everything he had and then unfortunately was injured again. But it certainly worked out for us. And bringing in Jordan Spence, he's been terrific.
Your team had expectations coming into this year. Were you fully able to evaluate the team because of all the injuries? And when did it become just, let's get in. Let's put everything else aside.
Yeah, I was as I evaluated our team, I was pleased with our performance. I was pleased with the commitment. I think there was a lot of things to be positive about with our group. Yet again, the results weren't quite coming. And I think as I looked at it, it was a challenging thing because as a manager, you want to do everything you can to help your team win. And at that point, I was really kind of challenging myself to look at this roster to see if we had needed anything. But the longer I looked at it, the more belief I had is we had the components. Dealing with some of the things we were dealing with and the adversity we were dealing with and getting through that. So I think overall, I never lost belief. Evaluating the team as we moved along here, there were some big moments where they stepped up and that, you know, reaffirmed my belief in the group that we had what it takes to be a playoff team.
How on earth did James Reimer's name get onto your list? I mean, when you look back and when you needed help, I don't think anybody imagined the guy that was at the Spengler Cup was going to come to the rescue.
Well, it's interesting. And one area that we're going to continue to look at as far as process is how we look at goaltenders and evaluate goaltenders. We have full belief in Linus Ullmark. And, you know, Levi Mäkiläinen, and the way we had come up with this was we, as a group, we looked at it. And Levi Mäkiläinen is a very good young goaltender and performed extremely well for us. And we also looked at the mental makeup of a guy like Levi, who, you know, the moment doesn't seem too big for him. He's very calm under pressure. And we looked at other veteran goaltenders that could have come in that spot to back up Linus to start. And, you know, we put our faith in Levi, and was it too early for him because of the age and the experience? We didn't know, but we wanted to see it through. We'd always had James Reimer. To your question, John, we'd always had James Reimer on our list. He continues to perform as he's aged at a level that's at saves that expected. And that's how we came to it. And we watched our goaltending not perform to expectation for a period of time. And we felt that that veteran presence was something that we needed.
How is the relationship between downstairs and your coaching staff when you're going through all those injuries and trying to plug holes, and you're trying to be patient? Trav wants to win right now. That's got to be a delicate balance.
Well, my working relationship with Travis Green is you know, as good as I could hope for. There's plenty of communication. There's lots of back and forth. You know, he'll challenge me when it comes to players and what we might need. And, you know, we have a mutual respect. And but it was certainly challenging because Travis had to trust that these players that we were calling up, he certainly keeps an eye on Belleville and watches it. But the main focus is here. And not as familiar with those players. I mean, training camp happens quick. These players are in for training camp. They're down in Belleville developing. And so he has to trust my opinion on the players that we're calling up. But again, the communication is open and honest. And I do believe that that's, you know, it's a key part of the success of an organization where you have to be on the same page. Challenging because we had built some good depth on our defense, and right shot defense is usually the most difficult to find. And then we ended up using our right shot defenseman on the left side because we didn't have quite the depth. We had the depth of players that we liked, but they were all sort of right shot defensemen. So credit to the coaching staff to be able to figure that out.
I was just thinking, you were one of the teams perhaps that the Olympic break came at the right time, didn't it? I mean, everybody needs a break, but when you look before the break, the Olympics, and after, you almost were a different team in so many ways.
Yeah, well, we were coming at the break. We were coming to the point where I wasn't really looking forward to the break. We felt like our team was getting to our identity and playing the style of play that we needed to be a consistent team and to win. And so you don't always know what the break's going to do. I mean, it's a challenge for every team and the players that are going to the Olympics or what they're doing on their break. So it was a bit of a disjointed season this year. It felt a little bit off balance that way. The schedule was extremely challenging for all of us teams with a condensed schedule. So, you know, to be able to pick up coming off the break like we did was impressive.
What would it have been like to play in that schedule? you went through it as a manager, but to play
for me personally? Yeah. No, I would have been, they would have put me in a body bag about 20 games in.
People don't understand how crazy. Extreme it was.
We went on a 7-game road trip. We were on the road for over 2 weeks. It was, it was extreme, certainly. And then you think about, like, you have a player and it happens, you have injuries and you have a player that's going to miss maybe a couple of weeks. And that ends up being like, you know, seven games, so it was wild. That trip in particular, when we were on the road, the schedule makers were so kind that they took us out west for all this time. And then had us land in Montreal to play a divisional game on the last part of that. And it was wild. I think if you talk to each manager, they all have their stories about the challenges of the schedule. But it was what it was, and we had to deal with it. And we dealt with it the best way we could.
Steve Staios with us on 100% Hockey. We'll continue with more after the break.
With the NHL app, you can listen to every NHL game right from your phone. And with home and away broadcast feeds, you choose your way to listen. And he scores! Whether you're at work, at the gym, or stuck in traffic, the NHL app puts you right in the action all season long. Every team, every game, everywhere you go. Download the NHL app and never miss a moment.
Could you see a changing of the guard coming in your division at all? Was it on the horizon with some of the teams that are in, some of the teams that are out?
Without question. I think if you look at our division and the talent and the youth that's coming through, and some of these teams have been building towards that for a while. And it's an extremely challenging division. And you see some impressive performances from teams that, speaking of teams like Buffalo, who got off to a rough start, and then what they've been able to do. But it's a very challenging division. I think, got asked the question over the offseason at the deadline, have I done enough to be able to, add to this group the challenge within the division? And so we have our work cut out for us, for sure. But I do believe with our group that there's still a lot of room for internal growth with this group. I've used that term before. When I first came to Ottawa and evaluated the team honestly, really, to me, the strategy going in was to, A, create the environment that needed the change here, the support, Michael Andlauer's vision of the amount of support that we have for our players, the care, the work ethic, build an identity, but also surround this core group of players with the right veteran players and allow them to understand what it takes to win in the National Hockey League, bring in good mentors, bring in good players, but also good leaders, and then also the coaching staff to make sure that you match up the right coach for this group. And been asked a lot because I think Travis Green, I didn't win the headline the day that I hired Travis. There was plenty of other candidates out there that I had spoken to, but it became very clear to me that he was the right coach for this team at this time. And a lot of that had to do with really digging in on his teams and how they outperformed, especially on the defensive side, but in particular on what he did for individuals and how he maximized the potential of players. And with the great group of young players that we have here in Ottawa, I thought that that was probably the most important point of emphasis for myself to be able to go and hire a coach. And Travis has certainly delivered.
How did he impress you down the stretch?
During the season?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just think that it's easy for a coach when you face this type of adversity to not to lose focus, but to get a little bit dejected. And what I was most impressed was that next man up mentality. It was he really, I mean, in all our meetings, a couple of defensemen down, these guys are coming up. Okay, here we go, and get right back to coaching. And he runs towards the coaching. There's no excuses. He's incredibly driven. And what he's done with this group is he's developed a trust with the players where he can be hard on them and hold them accountable. And there's a mutual respect.
You know, you talked about Michael and bringing in a system that supports players. I guess in many ways it was no more put at the attention of everyone and stressed out was what you went through with Linus this year. Where are you now, do you think, with your goaltender?
Very good, in a very good spot. I think, you know, when that all came down with Linus, it was not the first time I dealt with it, but certainly the first time I've dealt with it with a player to that magnitude. And for Linus to come out and want to express where he was at and champion that, I thought was took a lot of courage. And we had his back. And we're at a time where I think there's a lot of people and a lot of players that do deal with this. And as the manager, how do we help them through it? I know that there's players that are dealing with it in all sports, that it's maybe don't come out and talk about it the way that Linus did. So it was a time for us as an organization to stand behind our players and make sure that they knew that they had the full support. And we hope in that environment that we've created that not only will we help Linus, but also our other players to know that they have the confidence of the manager and the owner if they are dealing with anything.
Was too much made of the not play in Tampa and play in Florida a couple of days?
Yeah, I think it was. I think if you're talking about workload or even say an injury with a goaltender where he's not at 100%, you know, we have a decision to make. And so whatever the issue is that you don't feel like that player is at 100% and you have someone else who can go and play in that position to help the team win, those are the decisions that we need to make. And I do think too much was made of it. But I can also understand why with how much attention was paid to Linus and the incident that he had gone through.
Mm-hmm. I know that you don't miss. Yeah, go ahead, John.
What was going through your mind when you saw Brady stagger to the bench on Long Island?
I mean, honestly, at some point I thought it might be just the way the season's gone. We watched Sandy go down. We watched Shabby go down. We watched it all unfold. That was a really, because I thought he'd gotten high sticked at that time. And in fact, we were in Long Island that night and Rob Schick is the head of officiating. And I was going to get, you know, a coffee in between periods. And I saw Schicky and I kind of got into him about the high stick. And then he said, did you see the replay? And it wasn't a high stick. And so anyway, everything had sorted itself out with Brady and, we're very thankful that he's okay.
Do you catch every one of his podcast episodes?
I do not. No.
Hold on. Do you catch every one of ours though? That's more important. You gotta.
That is the only one I consistently watch. Yes.
So where are your expectations now going into the playoffs after all you've been through?
I think the best way to put it is we feel that when we're on our game and playing our game, that we can beat anybody. And what my belief is and my hope is that the experience that we had last year, the feeling around here is a little bit different on qualifying for the playoffs this year compared to last, the way that I see it. And
how so?
Our players were they're excited to be in the playoffs, but it seems like a little bit more of a business-like approach this year, where last year I felt the excitement and maybe youthful exuberance. And look at game one versus the Toronto Maple Leafs. And we came out and we blew the doors off. We were getting after it. And because of the character of this group and the determination, but it may have worked against us. And, you know, we took some penalties. And I think overall we've learned from the experience. It doesn't guarantee that we can win a round this year, but I do think that bodes well for the confidence of this group.
How do you match up against Carolina, do you think?
Well, they're an extraordinary team. I mean, and have been consistently for a very long time. And I think one of the challenges is they're a playoff tested group, and they've done it year over year. They're a challenge like every team is going to be, but they got great depth and speed throughout their lineup. I think the similarities between the teams are that there's a true identity to how they play. And better question for Travis on some of the things that we're going to look to do in this series. But more importantly, we just look at the way that we play. And we've said that a lot. And it doesn't matter if it's what team is coming in here. We feel that when we get to our game, to our identity, and the players know how we have to play to win. And a lot of the continuity and, in the off season, the question to me was, well, you're running the same group back. My belief is that now there's not a lot of change. And what we have to do is continue to work on executing at a higher rate. But it's not like there's a lot of new players here that have to learn the system and get up to speed. And I think that's helped with our consistent play down the stretch.
I always saw you as a manager, but you took on that role in Ottawa. Do you enjoy it? Do you have fun doing it?
At times. I love it. I mean, the competitive juice, it's so different than being a player. I mean, closest thing to playing would be coaching, but no, I love it. I mean, it's not a job. It's an obsession for me. I live for it and care deeply for my team and my players, and my coaches. And I really do enjoy it. It's, funny, I mentioned coaching, but, my first position, I'm always grateful to Brian Burke. He was who had hired me in Toronto and put me in player development. And he said, he goes, I think you're going to be a great coach one day. And I said, Berkey, I don't think I want to coach, and kind of barked back at me. Well, what the F do you want to do then? So I said, I want to see this through and learn the game, learn the business on this side of things. And I've enjoyed it. I think going from the Toronto Maple Leafs back to the Ontario Hockey League to be able to run an organization for 7 years from the top down, I think really that experience in particular, it set me up to be able to have confidence to do it at this level. And seemed like a bit of a odd thing to do because I was within a good organization with, and working in the NHL, but I don't think I'd be able to do it at this level with the confidence that I have right now without that experience.
Well, and to that point, I mean, when you talk about everything you go through, I mean, your relationship with Michael Andlauer is, I look around the league and I may get phone calls from other managers, but your relationship with the owner of your team is truly different and amazing and part of a foundation of your success, don't you think?
Without question. I mean, Michael's a special person. He's a leader. He's extremely passionate. And we became my experience in the Ontario Hockey League in Hamilton with the Bulldogs was we felt like we were aligned right away in how we build teams. He has similar philosophies to how he builds his business and how we have success, but it's about people. He says it all the time. We work harder than our competition and we care more. But he's an incredible man, a leader, mentor. I think, and throughout, like he's got he communicates with our players when he's in town, and he brings the excitement and that continuity and just being aligned in our vision of how we build and manage has led us to some success.
Have fun. Enjoy this. It's good to catch up with you. And you had a lot of belief in your team all year long, but to be able to watch you guys navigate a couple of little situations and come out of it on the right end gives us a lot of excitement going forward.
I appreciate it. It was great seeing you guys.
Be good, buddy. Back with more on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.
NHL TV is now on DAZN. Hockey lives here. Watch every game from every team. The best players in the world. And the coldest plays on ice. Watch up to 4 games at once for the ultimate NHL experience. Sign up now at DAZN.
It was unfair to ask him because you got the relationship with the player, but I wonder what Stevie's first reaction would have been when he found out Brady's going to do a podcast with his brother.
Brady's so important to the franchise on so many different levels. How do you tell him no? How do you tell him no? I mean,
no, you can't. And it's actually in the end, it'll be good for everybody, but you knew that there was going to be one or two potholes along the way that were going to give you a jolt.
Potholes.
Okay, sinkholes.
How about sinkholes? That's right. And who would have known it was
going to? Okay, Brady's going to do a podcast.
Oh. And who would have thought it would have been Dad stirring the pot even more?
I did.
Keith's supposed to be the mature one.
No, when Keith goes on with his boys. There's a competition there. Who's gonna come out of it?
What I would have liked to have heard after they did the show, I would have liked to have heard what Chantel said.
the best line somebody told me was, because it's a podcast, right?
Yeah.
You record it and then you put it out. So he said, they know there's an edit button, right? You didn't have to leave that in. You don't have to leave everything in if you don't want to.
By the way,
you and
Steo seem to be pretty good pals. Well, where's that go back to?
Way back to Edmonton when Jared Stoll and Rafi Torres and Dwayne Rollison, there's Matty Green was on those teams, like all that stuff. So I'm friends with Jared. So when we go out there, I'd go for dinner or see him, and I'd end up with that group of players. And I got to know that group really well over the years. And it's funny. I wasn't around them a lot, but that was just like Los Angeles around Stoli. Really, it was a really close group that Oilers contingent back in the day.
Yeah, it reflected on the way they played the game.
Yeah,
they played the game hard. They really did.
They were fun.
Yeah,
Sheldon Surrey, part of that.
Of course,
see Shelley every now and then, and it's cool. It's like, I don't know. In some ways, it was just a. That was a great look at how a National Hockey League group was supposed to come together. And they weren't the best in the league by any means. There was struggles along the way. There were challenging times at that stage for Edmonton.
Absolutely.
During.
Yeah.
And that group was really, really tight. And in different stops that I had around the National Hockey League or in different places, the teams that I've been able to get a closer eye on during my time at Sportsnet, certainly, you wonder, why can't they, what's the magic ingredient to make an average team really good, mm-hmm. a team that has challenges really good financially or payroll back then, and a team that has a lot of assets, but can't get over the hump. And they had it. That Los Angeles team that won two cups, very similar to the Vegas team in 2023, like tightest group that I've ever seen that was able to go through regular season and then have playoffs.
Well, let's face it, when we see teams falter and we see organizations looking at each other, we don't, you know, and right now everybody's talking about being data driven, but culture is so important. Culture
leadership.
I view that as part of that definition of a good culture. And the leaders,
like some teams find a way, right, John? There's a lot of reasons why Ottawa shouldn't have found a way this year, or you would have went, that derailed them.
But if they can come through all of this, if they can come through all of this, they can be a factor in the playoffs for sure.
Yeah. Columbus didn't find a way. Detroit didn't find a way. Toronto lost its way.
Culture.
You know, the old TomTom? Remember the TomTom navigational systems?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Need a reset.
Yeah.
Find the way. You dropped a jolly golly G or something that. Yes.
Oh.
You gotta just dabble in profanity just to keep us on our toes.
No.
Holy golly G.
No, I don't. I don't. Every once in a while, I say something that I regret. So,
you know. What would, if you had to choose, throw down, just sprinkle in some profanity, or wear a 100% hockey ball cap? If you had to choose,
I'll swear before I wear a ball cap. One comes natural and one doesn't.
Yeah, because you can swear. You know how to do it.
Once in a while.
Bring it. Usually it's through an intercom to an announcer.
Oh, those are urban myths. Those are urban myths.
Hey, Scotty Oak. That was pretty cool, by the way. We didn't get a chance to really loop back on that. I know this is a bonus episode, but talking about intercoms. Yeah. That was fun.
We've had a pretty good week when you consider and a pretty good last couple of months when you consider the guests that have been so good with us. That's why I think that the podcast is still growing. We'll get ready for the playoffs.
You know, people listen, but you're not aware of like that person listening, that lay listening. But when people come up to me and go, Scott Oak, didn't want to interview Carol Alt.
That's right.
Like just randomly people come up and didn't want to interview Carol. I'm like, oh, you heard the episode.
Yes. Yeah. Oh no. I just got back from Vancouver and I had four or five people walk up and talk about the show. So people are listening.
Good stuff. Back at our regular time on Friday with another episode.
Who's on tomorrow? The bookseller's on tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's selling books. That's all he's doing is selling books now.
He's selling other stuff. There's some other stuff in there.
Yeah. Chris Pronger tomorrow.
There's no lack of opinion with him. Great book. We'll get into that. Plus a little bit of a playoff primer for you going into the Stanley Cup postseason. It's going to be fun with us on 100% Hockey. Subscribe, comment, like, and give us your opinion on what you'd like to hear from next time on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.